Welcome to OOBG Radio, the leading destination for the best sports and betting analysis presented by your hosts, John, Jordan, and Dave.
And this is OOBG Radio. We are here, this is John, and I'm here accompanied by Monroe and Brian from uwager.eu. We're having a fabulous week this week. We got so many topics to talk about. I mean, we got the NBA playoffs, we got NFL, we got a little bit about the controversy on the 76ers, we got a little bit of baseball, and so much more going on. Obviously, Stanley Cup. First, we want to touch on the NFL. Some interesting stuff going on. Monroe, what you got for me?
Well, NFL, this time of year, there's not much going on that I really want to talk about. OTAs.
I mean, what's going on in the off season of football other than OTAs?
There's no way for me to make any money on the NFL right now, so I'm not too high on it. But what we're going to go over is which teams are facing the highest expectations. Maybe you can kind of draw some information for this and see who you want to put your money on for next season, all right? In my opinion, one of the teams that's facing the highest expectations this year is the Cleveland Browns.
Why did I think you were going to say, the Eagles? I don't know.
He's a diehard Eagles fan, that's why.
Eagles always have high expectations. If you don't perform, we're going to throw snowballs at Santa Claus in Christmas, all right? You don't want to get us mad. We always have high expectations. Other than that, Cleveland Browns, they're looking for a win now. They changed ownership. They kept that same coach there. Was it Hugh Jackson? They brought in players all over the field. They needed players all over the field. So I can't say necessarily that they've done enough, but they're taking the steps. I like Tyrod Taylor. They picked him up over from Buffalo. Of course, they drafted Baker Mayfield here, number one pick.
Yeah.
Surprised some people with their that number one pick. And also that number four pick they took was Denzel Ward.
Yeah. That was surprising, right, too, actually, with the people left in the draft at the fourth spot. They took him. Mm-hmm. I didn't exactly agree with it. I didn't exactly not agree with it, but yeah, they could have made a better choice, I think. But we'll see what happens in the season.
In my opinion, they should have got Chubb, the first pick. Should have got Chubb, put him on the other side of Myles Garrett, and then you take another quarterback at number four.
Yeah, I mean, you could have had the best defensive player and the best offensive player in the draft, and he chose to go a different route.
Yeah.
To me, it just didn't make sense. But, you know, obviously, the Cleveland Browns did hire that draft expert, did they not?
He's supposed to be the guru.
Exactly. So he probably saw something that obviously you and me just didn't see. I think the team that, in my opinion, that hold the highest expectations, the Oakland Raiders. John Gruden coming pretty much out of retirement to coach this team again. Keep in mind, he's the only coach in NFL history to ever be traded.
Yeah.
Okay. So that says a lot about him. He's a very good coach. He showed that with the Oakland Raiders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You know, I like Gruden's attitude. I love the way he takes charge of that team. I love the personality that he brings to the Raiders. I love the Raiders in the AFC. That's got to be my team. He's talking about, you know, how the Raiders historically love to steal players from Kansas City. He's already thrown, you know, wood into the fire. Those AFC West rivalries are pretty serious. I don't know if you've ever seen any of those Raiders fans in the Coliseum.
The Raiders fans, I mean, I remember at one point, people were scared of Raiders fans. That's how intense they were.
Speaking of snowballs, you don't remember back in the day, Denver and Oakland, a big snowball fiasco, throwing snowballs at the players and everything.
Yeah, they didn't hold back, man. They didn't hold back.
I like the Raiders, too. They definitely have high expectations. They got to get something done before they go to Vegas.
I don't know, Monroe. I think, my pick right now is going to be the Los Angeles Rams. They got McVay, which is
from Cali, man. You're always talking about Cali.
The Cali is, you know, the West is the best, right?
There's things from Cali that I do like, but football teams aren't necessarily one of them.
But you know what?
I would agree with you on that one.
The Rams are a dream team right now, right? They got the youngest coach going on right now. Yeah, that could hurt them. But I gotta come back to this. You know, the Rams, they're building a team. They're putting up enough money for everything. They're making their new stadium. I mean, Los Angeles has a lot of money. They have a lot of power. And so I think that the Rams are due to make a big dent in the league right now.
I like the Rams, man. I do like them. I think that their expectations have been possibly lowered a little bit after having such a successful worst-to-first scenario last season. Maybe they give McVay a little bit of leeway. He's a young coach. He's new. Might have been beginner's luck that first year. You can't be too hard on him if he comes out with only 9 or 10 wins this season. You know? But given all of the moves that they've made,
they should, yeah, they should have.
They made moves in the right position, for sure. They needed corners because they let one of their corners go.
Right.
They need a defensive line depth. But they got Sue. They got Talib. They got Pete Peters over from the Chiefs. Are those egos going to affect them, though?
Will they be able to work together as a team and make it through?
I mean, that's...
I think Ndamukong Suh is going to be a huge factor in that locker room. He can either be a cancer or he can be a leader. It depends on what type of role he wants to take. When he was in Detroit, he was kind of the bad boy of Detroit, stomping on people's necks and arms and, you know, got himself a lot of trouble. You saw him go to Miami. He kind of cleaned up a little bit, but still had a few mishaps. So we'll see what he does with the Rams. Maybe he'll clean up his act and actually become the leader that they want him to be for the defense over there.
Yeah, I don't want to call him or anybody on that team a cancer. Are some of those players controversial? Talib, of course, is controversial, but they play with passion. They're tough players.
That's true.
They set the tone. And
I'm sorry to cut you off, but speaking of dream teams, what more than the elephant in the room, mind you, Jordan isn't here right now.
Jordan's not here, so we're not talking about that.
But, you know, that game that happened, what's going on with the NBA playoffs?
J.R. Smith, is you doing? Yeah.
What did he do?
What are you doing?
I couldn't tell you. I saw it and I was like, see, you know, NBA's fixed. That's why they legalized the gambling, because it's being fixed right now.
You watch that highlight, it's almost unbelievable. I mean, after the game, he goes on record as saying, no, I knew the game was tied. I mean, if you knew the game was tied, there's no other way than that the game was fixed.
Those that didn't see it, seconds left on the clock, in the regulation time, Cleveland at the free throw line, make one.
Missed the second one.
J.R. Smith, you put it back up, you win the game.
Well, he got the rebound right underneath the rim. Could have put up a hook shot, put up a dunk, scored those final 2 points of the game, finished the game. Instead, he runs the ball to the half court and then throws it to the... Doesn't even look for LeBron. LeBron's right next to him. Doesn't even look for LeBron and just trashes the game for him. Golden State goes on to win in overtime by 10 points.
This was the biggest line, mind you, in a finals game since 1991.
Really?
Which was the Lakers.
Minus 13 at UWager, dropped back down to 12.5. Biggest line since 1991. Since then, the only line that was equal to or similar was 2001. Lakers and versus Sixers.
That's the last time we had a finals line.
Let's talk about LeBron here. How many points did LeBron put up?
Man. He put up 51 points last night. But the thing is, he needs to consistently put up those numbers throughout these finals if he wants to give his team a chance, which he just can't do.
That's kind of embarrassing for the Cavs, no?
I mean, 100%. I mean, Kevin Love helped him out a little bit.
Kevin Love did. Coming off of the concussion protocol,
he
comes back and he puts up 21 points. You got LeBron with 51. LeBron played all 48 minutes again.
You can't expect that from him, though. You can't. I mean, he probably wants to do it. From LeBron.
Oh, okay.
Playing all 48 minutes, yeah, he probably wants to do it. He's a competitor. He has heart. So he wants to be out there for every minute of the game. But at his age, you just can't expect that from him at this point.
Of course you can. You have to expect that from him. They have nobody else to expect it from. Who else are you going to lean on? J.R. Smith? Nope. Not even with the game on the line, bro. Not happening. It's just not happening.
What I'm saying is that you can't expect that from every game. You can't expect 51 points out of LeBron in every game. Okay, he's not going to average 50 points to these finals. You can't sit here and tell me that he's going to average 50 points.
Truthfully, that's kind of unfair to LeBron. Why is he carrying his team? I know it's all about King James and he loves the attention. But come on, man, we need to work as a team right now.
I don't think at this point you can even call it the Cavs. You call it the Cleveland LeBrons.
Exactly.
The Cleveland James.
Exactly.
Cleveland James. Cleveland Kings.
Yes, there you go. Something like that. You know, it's embarrassing. It really is. I mean, and especially after all the moves they tried to make during the season or before this season, Isaiah Thomas, they just had some bad luck or something's wrong in the front office there.
And you know what? UWager.eu has the line at +12
again
for Cleveland. Minus 12 Golden State.
That'll change. I think that'll change here in the next day.
I mean, it might go down a point or so. I don't think it's going to change much. Look, nobody has any faith in the Cavs, and they shouldn't. I don't think anybody in their right mind it has any faith that Cleveland will be able to pull this out. Will they get a game or two? It's on LeBron's back. If LeBron has it his way, yeah, they'll get a game or two.
If they do pull it off, the GOAT discussion is over. LeBron wins. In my mind, if LeBron and the Cavs pull this off and they beat the Golden, the super team of the Golden State Warriors, the best lineup in possibly NBA history, if they pull this off, I think that GOAT discussion is over. LeBron wins it.
You know what? I have to concur with Brian here. I think that if they do that, I mean, I don't personally like LeBron. Again, I'm a '90s kid, so I the GOAT discussion. I'm pro Michael Jordan, but I got to give credit, man. If LeBron does this, I mean, no one else can beat this guy. This guy is just a machine.
Look, I don't want to get into the GOAT discussion right now. That's just not something that I want to do. I don't have a problem with LeBron. I like LeBron. As a matter of fact, I became a fan of LeBron just this season. A fan. Never a hater of him, but I became a fan this season.
Oh, I'm a hater.
I'm a hater of LeBron.
You can't be. You can't be. He's one of the greatest players of all time.
Oh, I respect him. Question. I respect his skill.
But listen, until he can hold up his hand in front of his face with 5 rings, at least be on Kobe Bryant's level, and I can't see him because rings are blocking his face, all right, then we'll start talking about it. But let's get you to Kobe's level first. That starts this year, and then we'll talk about GOAT. But until then, I'm not going into
it. So you think it's not even a GOAT discussion between LeBron and MJ? You think it's between Kobe and...
I'm not saying that. I don't want to talk about GOATs right now. I'm just saying.
Just saying. You didn't want to talk about GOATs, and then you went into GOAT discussion.
Get to Kobe's level first. That's all I'm saying.
So, you know what? And speaking of LeBron, and he's going to become a free agent, right, after this, you know? And he's, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, talk about him going to different teams, you know? I know that Lakers want him. I know that the Rockets want him. And
I mean, everybody who could get him, I'm sure, would take him, other than Golden State.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? I think that one of the bigger chances was the 76ers wanting him. And, well, now there's all this controversy going on with the 76ers president about him using... Colangelo. I mean, he's using these fake accounts, or that's what the...
Allegedly.
He's using fake Twitter accounts to trash his own players. I mean,
he's also using him to stick up for himself too. He's taken a lot of backlash here in the past few months from players, you know, fans, and he uses them to kind of promote himself.
So he goes on Twitter to protect himself?
Pretty much. It's like a little kid, you know. He feels like he needs to protect himself from the big bad fans who are talking, you know, crap about him.
That's stupid.
That's childish. You know what? The one thing that I keep wondering and asking myself, I guess I got to get more information on this investigation. Maybe we all do. We don't know.
100%. We don't know the whole thing.
But what does he benefit? How does he benefit from this?
I think that there's hidden things right now. I think that since everything's in investigation mode, we haven't, that none of that has come out to the light. And as soon as the media finds out exactly what's going on, what was his purpose behind that, I think that there's going to be a lot deeper, stinkier stuff that's going on.
You know,
you think it was him?
At first I didn't. But then I actually read the article that they wrote about it, and I read, you know, that the 76ers media was contacted via email about 2 of the 5 accounts that they were talking about to kind of bait the 76ers media into maybe giving more information about the 3 they didn't mention.
The other accounts that they didn't bring.
Right. So within hours of that email, 3 out of the 5 accounts were switched to private, from public to private, within hours.
So it's coming from inside. It's somebody inside.
It might not be him, but somebody inside is damaging someone's reputation.
Okay, so now, I read that those accounts are directly tied to some phone lines, cell phone lines that were owned by
his wife.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, I mean, doesn't that incriminate him even more? I mean, isn't that... I mean, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck... You know what, dude? Like, I mean,
the league. I mean, I was looking at possible outcomes of this. The league could do one of 2 things. Article 35A of the NBA Constitution would authorize Silver to suspend Colangelo for any length of time and fine him up to $1 million. Okay, now the other option is Article 24, which contains the best interest of the NBA provision. Mm-hmm. It expresses that the commissioner is charged with protecting the integrity of the game of professional basketball and preserving public confidence in the league. The best interest provision makes clear that when a situation arises which is not covered in the Constitution and bylaws, the commissioner shall have the authority to make such decisions, including the imposition of a penalty, as in his judgment shall be in the best interest of the association.
Well, what's the best interest of the association after this type of thing? You know, I mean, I think
the best interest for the 76ers, this is bad publicity. This deters
bad publicity.
I mean, this deters free agents from coming. This deters LeBron from coming to the 76ers.
Sure? Why?
Who wants to go to a team that their president is talking crap about their players? Or any of his family members have Twitter accounts linked to him that are talking crap about his players.
Well, I mean, LeBron loves being the spotlight. There's just one more person that
put him in the spotlight.
Yeah, but that's negative.
What he doesn't like being in that spotlight?
That's negative.
LeBron is in the spotlight all the time. It doesn't matter how you talk about him. We're talking about him. That's what he wants. That's what his play merits. Let's talk about LeBron James every damn day. That's what we're doing.
I still say that he's either, odds are, he's probably going to go to the Rockets. Or I still say it's not because I'm from Cali, but I still say that, you know, a good pick for him would be the Lakers. That would be something that LeBron's personality would do.
His years are numbered. Right? If he wants to do anything in the NBA, he's winning rings. Yeah. Right? So he needs to go to a team that is a contender with the Warriors. Because the Warriors, I mean, they're not looking to change any of their lineup unless someone wants a pay raise, something like that, they need to make changes.
You know, this... The way that the Warriors were drawn to the end with Houston, if we see LeBron and the Cavs pull out two or even three, even one game in this series, the Warriors got a question, what do we have to change? Because they're obviously not the completely dominant super team that we thought. They can be beaten. They've got Durant. They don't even have a better record than they did a couple years ago when they set the record for most wins.
Well, the Warriors would lose this series, would lose the final, if they were just one or two more players helping LeBron.
I think if you have one more player, LeBron, he would have been able to pull it off.
Yeah. So that says a lot about
the way he's playing, yeah, of course. Yeah. But then we come to the point that would he be able to get any more rings after this fifth one? If he's continuing to play so much the entire season, the entire postseason.
Well, if LeBron...
He's got to look out for his future, too. It's not just about this season.
True.
Is it realistic for him, as a player, to expect himself to win this championship series? I don't think so. I think he's got to be a little easy on himself, which he won't do. Strong character.
He's an athlete. He's an athlete, man.
He wants to be the best in the world. He believes he is.
Going back to the Colangelo situation... So, I mean, we'll be updating you guys on that. I mean, this guy is a guy that has been accused of trashing his own players. We don't know exactly why. And why would the president of a team do that?
Well, I mean, it's not only did he trash his own players, but one of the Twitter accounts actually disclosed non-public medical information about Okafor.
Okay, wow. See, that's just going too far.
Yeah.
You know, it's
I agree.
It's a bigger issue than what we know.
Exactly,
for sure.
I agree. I think that we will know in the next coming days because there's going to be an end all result to this. Yeah. I mean, this isn't just going to go away. So you know what? And I'm reminded of the LA Clippers owner when that whole racist controversy.
Yeah, that's different, man. That's real.
What happened to that guy? He was forced to sell.
He was forced to leave. The NBA did what they had to do with that guy. I don't think that.
Well,
at least not yet. I don't think that what Colangelo is doing warrants him being thrown out as an owner yet. This is far below what that Clippers got. I know what you're talking about. We're not there yet.
But I mean, he did admit to using one account.
One
of the accounts. But he denies all claims of his alleged activity on all the other Twitter accounts, which I, you know, at this point, I don't quite believe.
Moral of the story here. Meek Mills, we know you're out now. Talk to your owner. Let's get a win over here. Let's get LeBron over there, and let's see if we can get him a couple.
Yeah,
more
I mean they picked Meek Mill with a helicopter out of jail. You got him out of jail. Let's pick you up a helicopter, take you to the game.
He deserves it.
And you know what? Speaking of fantastic teams out there, switching over to baseball a little bit, there are some interesting things going on. We'll start with the West. We'll start with the Dodgers. I love my Dodgers. I am a big Dodger fan. You know, we got Clayton Kershaw. He's back. He was placed on the disability list for biceps tendonitis. He returned to play for the Dodgers, and they're in their series finale against the Philadelphia Phillies. I think that they did that Thursday this past week that went by. So hopefully, you know, they have a lot of expectations in Kershaw. He's done a lot for them, and I think that he's ready to come back. He's had that downtime to put his pieces back together, you know?
Well, what I want to know about the Dodgers is how they went from a World Series team last year to... It's been a pretty disappointing start to the season for them, let's be honest.
Yeah, but they've also had a lot of people down. You know, they've had some key players that have been put on the disability list for mm-hmm. one or another reason. But at the same time, the season's so young still. So much can happen in the next coming months.
Who do you think should win MVP, by the way?
At least in the AL. I mean, you got Anthony Rizzo having that outstanding season, but then you got Mookie Betts leading the league in batting average and OPS. I mean, those two are definitely the front runners. But if Trout
forget about Mike Trout.
Yeah, but if Trout, that's what I'm talking. I didn't mean to say Rizzo. I meant Trout. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
But if Trout keeps on pace for what he's been doing, I mean, there's no question
he wins that. I agree. I think that MVP goes to Mike Trout. I mean, Mookie Betts is doing fantastic. He's just not there yet. I think that Mike Trout's going to take it. I don't know.
Yeah. And then Trout has a 4.9 wins above replacement. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, record-breaking numbers. We haven't seen that since Babe Ruth.
I don't think we've ever seen that.
No?
I don't think we've ever seen 4.9.
I don't think so either. But, and going on the other side of the States, you know, going to the Boston Red Sox, they're in a series right now mm-hmm. with defending World Series champions, Astros, right? They lost their first game, but still Boston is doing fantastic. Astros are doing fantastic. This is a great series to watch. Both teams have excellent players. I personally expect these two to be one of the front runners to go all the way to the end.
The World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely say the Astros have a very good chance. I like the Braves too, though. I like the way the Braves are playing.
I agree, definitely.
There's a lot of good teams. There are some good teams, and there's some real bad teams. There's some real bad teams.
Well, there's a huge gap, right?
Yeah, that makes it interesting, though, okay? So, yeah, so when you get to the playoffs, think about those matchups.
The playoffs?
You want to talk
about the playoffs?
I mean, think about it. Since the gap is so huge between there's some really good teams and there's some really, really bad teams in the MLB this year, yeah. Okay? So when the playoffs come, those matchups in the playoffs are going to be so much more exciting to watch.
How do you figure?
You got all the good teams in there.
Such as?
I mean, you'll have the Dodgers, you have the Astros, you have the Yankees, you have the Red Sox. You got all these teams going in the
Braves. This
play, the Braves. These are all good matchups. No matter who you put these two teams against, it's going to be a good matchup.
The Angels are doing fantastic as well.
The Angels are doing great.
I mean, even the Diamondbacks are doing great too right now, right? So mm-hmm. there's a lot in the West that's doing that. And I think that the West has a great league right now because they're all really red hot. If you see the pattern in the past seasons, it's usually, you know, the Dodgers are usually down. You know, the Diamondbacks are usually up. Or it's the San Francisco Giants who are up. You know, but everyone seems to be, you know, on their game with the exception of, you know, the Padres. You know, but I feel bad for San Diego.
I actually completely forgot that the Padres had a team. That's how bad they're doing.
I feel bad for San Diego, you know. And supposedly San Francisco, where, you know, the Giants were going to have a great team, and they're not really doing anything this year.
Not either. Living up to the hype, yeah.
You know, so like I said, the season is still young. You know, and but what something that's still that's going on right now is the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
My gosh. Okay, so we got the Capitals and we got the Knights, and
series tied 1-1. Vegas took game 1-6-4. They only won by 2 because of an empty net goal at the end. You know, you pull your Washington pulled their goalie with 2 minutes left to try to get that goal back from them.
They got
to
work out some nerves over there on the Capitals. At least that's what
well, they did. Said, they right? did. You know, they came out in game 2. It's been a very, very physical series, which I love seeing. This is why I love the Stanley Cup Finals. Even the playoffs, it's just a completely different game of hockey. A
couple of on-the-ice brawls.
Oh, yeah. Series. Yeah, definitely. I mean, these two teams, they definitely have respect for each other, but right now they're not the best of friends, obviously. You know, Ovechkin just looking so strong right now. Kuznetsov went off injured. They need him back ASAP if they want, you know, a good chance at winning this finals here. But, you know, the big thing for me is the Capitals have been able to put...
I was going
to
say, what's going on with Fleury over there?
That's the thing. That's the thing. The Capitals have seen Fleury for the past 3 years. I'm sorry, 2 years. This will be their third year, okay? Right. So they know how to play against them, right? So the fact that they're able to put 7 goals in the back of the net past Fleury, when Fleury came into the playoffs, he has a 0.947 save percentage in the playoffs, and the Capitals are still... able to put 7 goals past them in 2 games, which and to me that speaks volumes. That speaks volumes. That's just another reason why I think the Capitals will win this series. I still think it will go 7 games. I still think these guys are going to exchange games 1-1-1-1, but in the end, the Capitals, I think, are going to take this series.
One thing for sure, I think this is the most excited I've been for a Stanley Final Cup and a Stanley Cup Final in a long time.
I agree.
And I say it a lot because I don't know shit about hockey. I'm just going with what you guys show me.
And you know what? And you wagers got them at 1.5, okay? So favoring the Capitals.
Though, right? Every time I look at a hockey line, it's 1, 1.5. Is that a
That's
good
how
line?
It's always going to be. It's just how it always is.
Is there money on that line? Or?
I mean... Kind of, it just kind of depends on how you want to bet. What I do, I use money line. I do series. I do the series price on the Caps. I don't really like the.
Okay,
so you still like the Caps on the series.
Yeah, I still like the Caps on the series.
So the Caps, the Capitals, the money line for you wager is -125.
Yeah.
Okay. What about?
I don't really. I don't necessarily like that line. I mean, I think it was a little better before the series started.
What's it looking like for Vegas right now?
Vegas is +105.
Yeah, I'll take the underdog, just to spite Brian.
The thing is, Vegas isn't the underdog.
But they are behind.
They are right now, but at the beginning of the series, Vegas was heavily favored.
I agree.
Vegas, yeah. Actually, Vegas is the betting favorite right now.
That's where all the money's at.
That's what people think the money's at.
But you know what? I'm going to disagree with you. I think that Vegas will take the series. I think that it will go to the 7. But Vegas will come up on top.
I guess we'll see.
Well, when it comes to Las Vegas, man, you can't believe everything you see, right? And I'm speaking from experience. I've seen some things that I don't think I was supposed to see in Vegas, and I still don't believe them.
So there you have it, folks. That's what we have right now. For next week, we're going to be talking a little bit more about World Cup. We got World Cup coming around.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
We can't wait for that. We got interesting teams. We'll go over a little bit more in detail about that. We'll go over, of course, we always have a little bit of, we'll talk about what happened with the NBA playoffs. We'll review that a little bit. Where would LeBron end up? We don't know yet.
All right.
But
and in the meantime, get a hold of us here at U Wager so we can get your money rolling again for you.
That's right. That's right. Definitely. And so I'm John for Monroe and Brian. This has been another podcast of OOBG Radio.
You've been listening to OOBG Radio, the leading destination for the best sports and betting analysis podcast. Check in each week for more on sports news and forecasting. Don't forget to check us out on your favorite social media website and on OOBG.com.